Yeah, Div says I'm a first-time visitor and I'm still preaching. I'd like to introduce myself to you. Friends call me Mozzie, and I'm a member of this fantastic church. One of the things that was so encouraging to see as I listened to the messages online is that people just do church anyway. You know, if people come because of me, get a life. Really, the foundation must be Jesus and not the personality of the pastor. So bless you for your faithfulness, even though he's like such a cool pastor and so humble and stuff like that. Bless you guys for your faithfulness. It's really, really good to be back. We had ministry commitments 2 weeks before I leave, and then I went on leave, and I took a week extra because we didn't go away last year. But it's really, really, really good to be back. Those that remained faithful in our absence, thank you for your loyalty and dedication and commitment. And thank you for being here this morning. For die wat van daai ander kant na by die Boerewolskoten gekom het, baie, baie welkom aan julle. Ons hoop en vertrou julle voel thuis. The people that I haven't seen in a while, good to see you guys, Stephen, Debs, and Precious. Good to have you guys here, man. And thanks for making the time to come. And I'm excited to deliver the word of God. Colette and I were just talking, and all of a sudden, I just found myself like saying stuff. And she says, "You need to get preaching again." So I started like preaching to her, like, How many of you know she needs a friend and a husband, not a pastor? Amen. Yeah. So anyway, it's good to be here this morning. Let's just pray before we even start. What an honor and a privilege to get together, Lord, with your people. Where two or more gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. We do not take for granted the privilege that we have of corporate fellowship. Here, ons neem dit nie vanselfsprekend nie, die vele mense wat hulle lewens verloor het, sodat ons so by mekaar kan kom. Die woord wat ons vrylik het tot ons beskikking vandag, dis 'n awesome, awesome voorreg. I pray, Lord, that you, and thank you that you're watching over your word to perform it. I pray that nothing but your love and your anointing and your grace and your encouragement flows from this pulpit today. May we receive it where we are at and take these few minutes focusing our hearts and our attention on you, King Jesus, the great I am, God Almighty. We want to honor you in this place today, in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. I want to speak this morning about something that I've called God's thoughts. And the scripture that I want to kick off with is Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. So if you would follow on your electronic device, your physical page, Bible, or on the screen, whatever turns your crank, just read the Word of God with us this morning. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." I think there's so much in the Bible that we ons lees verby, ons sien dit nie raak nie, ons mediteer nie daarop nie. Daarom sien ons sekere goed in die woord glad nie raak nie. Imagine here's Jesus and he says to his disciples, "Get in a boat, go to the other side, and I'll get you oaks there." And guess what they do? Exactly what Jesus tells them to do. Hulle is nie moedswillig nie. They don't come with excuses. They don't. There's no delayed tactics. There's no cover-ups. There's no conspiracy theories. Jesus says, "Get in the boat. I'll get you on the other side." And they do exactly that. Nie lang daarna nie. Where do they find themselves? On the brink of death. You see, if they were rebellious and just going against the things, Lord, dan sou ek dit kon verstaan het, because ja, jy wil nie hoor nie, kry vir jou. You get two kinds of people in this world. Those who say to the Lord, "Lord, let your will be done." And those to whom God has to say, "All right then, have it your way." These others weren't like this. They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. And they find themselves in the boat, a storm breaking out, and they feared for their lives they were going to die. What was going through those disciples' minds? Who's this Jesus anyway? Here I am, I'm doing my best, I'm being obedient. Where is he now when you need him most? I'm surely one of them would have said, but Lord, but God, surely they asked why. I'm sure that what went through their mind were thoughts that were not like God's thoughts. My brother, my sister, have you found yourself in maybe one, maybe two, several situations this year where you say, but Lord, why? I'm coming to church. I'm trying to apply what we hear from the pulpit. I'm going to care groups in a week. I'm honoring you financially. I'm returning to you what's yours, Lord. When I get a chance, I share faith as best as I can. I tell others about you. I'm trying to be a good husband, a good wife, a good son, a good daughter, a good house thief. I'm trying my best, Lord. Whatever. And still, stuff happens. Can I see a show of hands this morning? Is there any, or is it just me? Okay. So we're speaking to the right people this morning. And the scripture says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. Folks, before we go any further, we have to, if you're going to even try and begin to understand God, we have to have this settled in our minds once and for all. Any of God's dealings with us, whether we understand it or not, whether we like it or not, we have to believe and know that He has our best interests at heart. Before you go any further, before you even begin to understand, in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says this, by faith we understand that the world was formed. That, what comes first? It says, by understanding we believe. No, no, no. By faith we understand. The faith has to come first. What do we need to settle? It goes on to say in that chapter, anybody who comes to God must believe that He is. And that is, He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So before you can even begin to understand, guys, here's this God who says to men, men, dwell with your wives with understanding. Okay. Let's just get that right first. This beautiful, wonderful, fantastic creature that's got no compartments in her head, that's all just... We guys who've got its compartment, we do one thing, we focus at a time, do it, we solution orientated. Yeah, these fantastic creatures at the best of times, they don't understand themselves. They laugh when they should be crying. They're crying when they should be laughing. It's all about how you feel. When everything's wrong, you ask him what's wrong, he said nothing. When God says to men, dwell with your wives with understanding. And then we try and take him and put him in a box so that we can understand. Rarach? Rarach? We can't do that. We have to first settle in our hearts. God doesn't, whether I understand it or not, is guys, if we can completely understand this God, we need a bigger God. We need a bigger, the one who speaks things into existence. Come on, men. Come on, church. But we have to first settle in our hearts and our minds that no matter everything he does in all his dealings with us, it's all first for our good, whether we understand it or not. Lord, I don't understand why I'm here. I don't understand I'm doing so much, it's just not working, Lord. In all of that, we need to settle in our minds that God has our best interests at heart. So much in life happens, leaves us wondering, but God, why? Guys, there's some things in life for which we do not have answers. No theologian, no Bible verse, no counseling, no course, no daily devotional, no worship song, no prayer, no nothing. You know, there was a time when Jesus was left alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. His closest friends left him. People that swore allegiance to him left him alone. No relatives, no loved one, no disciples, nothing. All alone. All alone. Why did Jesus have to go through that? So that when we are in those times where we feel completely alone, I believe every man and woman of God that chooses to follow Jesus must go through a thing that I call your personal Gethsemane. your personal Gethsemane where you left alone. And it's in times like that that we really need, Lord, I don't understand this, but I know you are God. I don't understand it, but I know you are God. So oftentimes we find ourselves in situations where we ask, God, but why? And why then are God's thoughts so different to ours? Why are his thoughts different to ours? Surely he could have made it a little bit more easier, but like, put instead of these like mysterious things written in the scriptures, and some of the things in the scriptures are plain, I would it like if you could go to the book of Imaginations, chapter 11. Do this now. When this happens, do the note. It just simply says, believe. Just believe. So God's saying, I got this. Yeah, but Lord, I got this. I've got this. You see, we want to see before we believe. God wants us to believe, and then we will see. But this needs to settle it here first. That's why we need to spend time in the Word to have our minds changed by the washing and rejuvenation of the Word. So why are his thoughts different than us? 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. This explains why. Now we see things imperfectly. When is the now? Now. Now we see things imperfectly. I don't know why Jesus hasn't already come back and sought this government out once and for all. One oak agrees with me. Div. I can apart loop some with you, my brother. One oak agrees with me. I don't know why Jesus hasn't come long time ago and sought this government out. I don't know why God hasn't come long time ago and explained that there are only two sexes. I don't know why he hasn't done that. I don't know why God hasn't come back long time ago and explained that there is only one way to the cross, and that's through Jesus. Instead of, you know why? It's like we are waiting, God, come on, do something. And God is up there, come on, church, do something. Come on, church, do something. I said, come on, church, do something. God is waiting for us to continue what he's already come and established here on earth. Therefore, he said, go. It's a hint about what our theme is for next year, as far as CMA is concerned. So in 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, it says, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. Think about that. Nee, maar die Here dan daarom my diep goeters in my gewys in die gees. Ja, en ek het hierdie openbaring gekry, hierdie visioen en hierdie droom en hierdie rema van die woord. Ja, it's all, it's lekker, it's good, but it still says this. What I know now is partial and incomplete. Ja, maar ek het hierdie graad en this and that and I went to the Turfentine College of Knowledge. That's great. But what I know now is incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. That's why. So you want to know why his thoughts are way above our thoughts? Because what we see and know now is incomplete. It's incomplete and it's not perfect. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit revealing what God knows when we need to know it. We have to rely that God will show us when we need to know it. At the end of the book of John, it says, Jesus done many, many more things and taught them many, many more things. But if they all have to be included in this book, you just wouldn't be able to do it. So there are some things that God just can't reveal to us right now. You just can't reveal certain things to us now because he knows better. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit revealing these things to us. It says this. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things to us by his Spirit. So no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared. But his Spirit has revealed these things to us. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. And then also, based on what we can handle and what we're ready for. Not everything. Not everything. We you know, there's times where I've prayed for the full power of God. Now imagine God gives me that. And I'm riding on my GS. And how many of you know that when I'm on the road, everybody in front of me is a slow coach and everybody who overtakes me is a maniac. I'm the only one that's doing everything right on the road. Kan jy jou vriendselvig met daai gene? Ja. Now imagine God gives me all of his power and somebody does something wrong in the traffic and I say, lightning strike. And that person just they're just a puff of smoke. That's all in there. Jylle lach. Oh, so you want the power of God and not the nature of Jesus. Ha. There was a time, it's been a while ago already, where I was in the traffic and I gave people names that their parents never gave them. All on the good, I rebaptized them in all different names. And the Lord quickened this to my heart. Mozzie, imagine what it would be like if you considered them as sheep without a shepherd instead of muhus on the road. I just melted on the back. Like, Lord, consider them like sheep without a shepherd instead of idiots in cars. What a difference. I've got to confess, church, I don't think like that all the time. There are still times when I give them new names and start talking in tongues that nobody has an interpretation for. But nie reg is nie. And you know, guys, I don't know who said it. It said, everybody is going through some challenge that we know nothing about. So be nice, always. Nice is not just the lady down the road who sells ice cream. Be nice. They're going through some challenge that we know nothing about. So I pray, Lord, I want your power, but without the nature of Jesus, you see his thoughts above my thoughts. That's why the Holy Spirit can't reveal everything to me, because I don't have the nature of Jesus yet. I don't know about you. I know you guys, you oaks have arrived, but I'm a work of grace in progress. Come on, guys. We can be real with each other this morning. So, let's consider the circumstances of these biblical characters quickly. Imagine Moses being put into a basket in the river so that he could end up in Pharaoh's court. Imagine what his parents were thinking. Yes, but God, why? Joseph being sold as a slave by his brothers so that he could end up saving his family and the then known world from drought when he was 17. Then only ends up coming out of prison in his 30s. What happened in those years in between? Forming the character, chipping away at everything that little bit by little bit, God preparing this man for what God had in store. God's thoughts above Moses' thoughts. Here's the book of Job. Theologians believe that the book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Yeah, Job in one day loses everything that's important to him. All his earthly possessions, his belongings, all his loved ones, family, everything wiped out all at once. Only so that God could give him back better than he ever had. Ek weet nie van julle nie, but I would have said, but God, why? The Bible says of Job that he was blameless. If you're blameless, please raise your hand this morning. Ons kan nie. You know, but actually you can. You see, here on my own, I can't raise my hand. But yeah, under the grace and umbrella of God, I can say, Lord, in your sight, I'm blameless because of the completed work of the cross. And God says of Job, he was blameless. He was blameless, and that still happened? Surely, surely, to goodness, in the name of everything that is sacred, Job must have asked, but God, why? Are you there, my brother, my sister? You've asked him this year. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you think, yeah, why, Lord? This oak, he's just waffling on. He doesn't know what I'm going through. You're right, I don't know, my brother, my sister. I don't have an answer for you. But God. And so there's Job. And then Jesus, being betrayed by the very ones he came to save. Imagine that. Imagine you're a fireman and you go into the building to go rescue someone and there's the O waiting for you. And as you walk in, yeah, put this mask on. The O caps your ass. Ooh. So, I've been on leave too long. For the religious people, I repent. I don't want to say anything that's a stumbling block to anybody. But I think of another example, Mozzie. But you come and you try and rescue somebody, and all they do, they just diss you. Imagine that. What was it like for Jesus? The very ones who he came to save people. Say, no, no, no. Rather give us that condemned, convicted criminal. We want Barabbas. Just release him. Why? Jesus, so that he could go through what he went through, so that we could be here today, living a life of grace and forgiveness and a God who's long-suffering. That's why. And guys, as sure as God made little apples, we become accountable for what we hear and what we know. So when we leave here this morning, Raivat, ons gaan onself in posisies bevind waar ons sê, but God, why? Then and then may the Holy Spirit remind you of Isaiah 55 and verse 8. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, my ways are above your ways. You see, as children loved by God, sometimes our chastening, what is a chastening? Chastening is correction, discipline, and sometimes punishment. People have said God doesn't punish people. Sometimes he does. Read the Bible. It speaks of God's punishment, just like that. Google it. Look it up in a concordance. You shall have also seen. So that's chastening. Sometimes, as children of God, our chastening is one of the most difficult times to understand. It's difficult for us to stand. How many times when you were growing up and you were busy getting a hiding, where you were saying, praise Jesus, thank you, Lord, I'm getting this hiding. I'm so glad I'm getting a hiding today. You thought your parents were possessed, man. If you were a Christian, then you say, get behind me, wake Satan. How many of you enjoyed it when you got hidings? Anybody? We didn't enjoy it. We didn't understand. Why must I go through this pain and suffering? Why? Ons het nie verstaan nie. But mom and dad knew better. Most of the time. Most of the time. Okay? So sometimes when we're going through chastening, we find it so difficult to understand. God, why? But this is what the scripture says. In Hebrews 12 and verse 6, for the Lord disciplines those he loves. He loves you. My brother, my sister, if you find yourself going through chastening, know that you are loved. If you find yourself going through correction, through discipline, and maybe even punishment, know that you are loved. And he punishes each one he accepts as his child. And same chapter, verse 11, Hebrews 12 and verse 11, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceable harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Man, a peaceable harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Training takes one training session, and then you've got it right, right? You do it again and again and again and again. I remember when I was part of the worship team at Midrand, they were very, very desperate, so they let me sing. Peter used to teach me, he said, Mozzie, you practice until you cannot make a mistake. Yeah. Challenged me. Practice until you cannot make a mistake. You don't pitch up, plug in, and hope for the best. No, no, no. You practice until you cannot make a mistake. It's the same thing with the discipline and the training of the Lord. Do it in such a way that the Aquafresh tube of toothpaste. The Aquafresh tube of toothpaste has got red, white, and blue on the outside, eh? When in the early hours of the morning, you sneak into the bathroom where nobody's watching. Come up gently to the cupboard or the shelf, whatever, wherever the toothpaste is in the bathroom. And you grab that toothpaste and you squeeze the tube. What comes out of the tube? Red, white, and blue. Because it's ready. It's ready. Like us. You're doing life. You're hunting on. And the coward that he is, when the devil comes unexpectedly and life happens, what comes out? Woof! Whoop! 4, 5, 6. What comes out of your mouth when the pressure's on? Unexpected. What comes out? Training and training and training, so that when the pulpit or when the pressure's on, that what comes out of us is some form of godliness. I don't know about you guys, but I am learning this still all the time, every day. Because God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And I'm a work of grace in progress. So, there are times where God even used the enemies of Israel against Israel to teach Israel a lesson. The very enemies. And in answer to that, you know, you sit vrees bevange and you wonder, how am I going to get out of this law? What if? And the media does that. Bad news sells. Bad news sells, you know. And the devil want to come alive to you and keep you in a place of fear. But when we faced with these things, and it's, I realize, you know, it's lacking in the atmosphere here of church to preach like this. But we're going to go out there and do life in the real world. And we faced with very, very real things. Difficult things. Things that we just don't have an answer for. Even though we're faith-filled people that love Jesus. There are things that happen, folks, that we don't have an answer for. When that happens, Isaiah 54 and verse 16, God encourages us with this. He says, I have created the blacksmith who fans the coals beneath the forge and makes the weapons of destruction. So the very weapons that the enemy wants to form and use against you, God says, I've made it. I have made the blacksmith who makes those weapons that he wants to use against you. So there's David and there's Goliath. Goliath has got five brothers. And David takes five stones from the river and he puts it in his sling and he kills Goliath with a stone, right? Huh? No. Goliath stood before David in all Goliath's armor, the javelin and the shield and the helmet and the sword, and David knocks him down with a stone, and the very sword that Goliath intended to use to kill David, David picked up his sword and killed Goliath with his own sword. So what's the lesson here? The very weapons that the enemy wants to use against you, my brother, my sister, God says, I've got this. I have made the blacksmith who makes the weapons that he wants to use against you. You see, when we worship the Lord, God turns our enemy against himself, against the enemies. That there's confusion in the ranks of the enemy. So that the enemy takes himself out. And he says, I've created the armies that destroy. At the end of the day, no matter how much the scripture reveals to us, some things will remain a mystery. As we close off this morning, one last scripture to share. No matter how much we know, no matter how much the Bible reveals to us, no matter how much we can hear a message like this after message, the Bible says this in Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. And I'm done preaching. 29, verse 29, it's up there. So I can switch this off now, confidently. It says this. The Lord our God has secrets. Everybody say secrets. You know why we don't know about it? Because it's a? You got that. The Lord our God has secrets known to no one. We are not accountable for them, but we and our children are accountable forever for all that he has revealed to us. May we walk in obedience for that which he has already revealed to us, so that we may obey all the terms of these instructions. Folks, there are secrets that are just going to remain that, secrets. There are many whys, vraagteken, wat geen skolier van die woord van God vir jou antwoord voor sal kan gee nie. There's just some things we just don't know. And far be it from us to try even guess and even try and give you a scripture to answer something that we just, God's thoughts is here and ours are here. Sometimes he allows us to see through certain things and have insight into certain things, and the Spirit reveals certain things to us, but other times. So let's just be obedient to what he's already revealed to us and walk with joyful expectation of his breakthrough promises until such time that He reveals more to us. Are you okay with that this morning? Did it make sense to someone? Did you learn something this morning? Now, may God, by His grace, allow us to apply these things to our lives. I'm going to ask the deep end to come up one more time and lead us in a time of worship. And while they do that, I'd just like to pray with you this morning. Perhaps you at a place in your life where you're asking God why. A breakthrough in business or breakthrough financially, in relationship with health, physical challenges where it seems God is just not bringing the healing and no medication or doctors is working and there's just no peace. You're doing all the right things, but something's missing and you just cannot put your finger on what it is. I just want you to bring all of that to the Lord this morning. And right there where you're seated, if you're at home watching online, just pray with us together this morning as we come before the Lord and say, Father, in Jesus' name, by faith we understand. And I want you, Lord, Holy Spirit, to settle in my heart, first and foremost. God, that in any of your dealings towards me, you always have my best interest at heart. And that thing that you're going through right now, just bring it before the Lord right now. Lift it up to the Lord and just trust that God, if you are walking in obedience and there's no deliberate, willful, continuous, unrepented sin in your life, if you're at that place, just submit it to the Lord and trust that He has got a plan. And iwerste is daar uitweg for you. And if you know you're walking in disobedience to the Lord, you've come to the right place this morning. As you just humbly come before God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I am sorry for doing my own thing. Would you forgive me? Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross to pay the price for my sins. And I thank you that you rose again to give me deliverance and freedom, that I no longer need to be a slave to sin, but I'm a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And Lord, in the times where answers aren't coming, give me your peace. Give me your peace. When I don't understand, give me that peace that transcends all understanding. And I thank you for that. And Lord, as your sons and daughters pray this morning, Lord, now just speak and declare the peace of Jesus Christ over their lives and these situations that have laid at the foot of the cross this morning and that they've brought to you in prayer. I thank you that you give them peace. When answers are not forthcoming, may they find you, the God who gives the answers even before the answers come. May, Lord God, your people dwell with authority in the days that lay ahead, facing every challenge, Lord God, with you as our Savior and our Redeemer and our Justifier. We bless and thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We love you dearly. Do it to them before they do it to you and show random acts of kindness. Travel safely. Enjoy your time with your family today. And God willing, we'll see each other same time, same place next week. And yes, I will be back. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord together. Yes, just remember to see Shalane. Those of you that have raffle tickets available for this, can you just raise your hand?